Well, let's see if this actual professional sort of setup is better than the typical old ghetto redneck engineered system that I was using before. Anyway, it's Dr. Chase Cunningham. This is the Dr. Zero Trust show. I've actually, that's what I'm going to say now, is this is Dr. Zero Trust show, because I'm doing it. I didn't realize till, 4 years, but yeah, it's long enough. I can call it a show. Anyway, if you've never thought you had a misshapen head, get a set of headphones like I did, and you realize just how wonky and weird that your actual skull is. Anyway, let's get moving, because I only like to do this for 30 minutes because people got other things to do. First out of the bag, if you've ever wanted proof that money really is the root of all evil and potentially the downfall of our future society, look at what just happened in the news with the good folks over at OpenAI, ChatGPT, that whole thing. Let me run you through the whole scenario here. So, CNBC reported this. Hayden Field: OpenAI quietly removes ban on military use of its AI tools. Now, I'll admit immediately right there, there's a little bit of a thing to take away. It's not that they said, "Hey, here, go off and put our shit on every missile and whatever else in the system," but what happened is the government has finally decided that there's enough validity in testing out and using some of these tools that they kind of went to OpenAI and said, "We got lots of money," and OpenAI and investors and all those things say, "Cool." And now OpenAI has changed its policy. And I actually happen to have both versions of the policy before and after, just so you can understand how this all works. OpenAI has quietly walked back a ban on the military use of ChatGPT and its other artificial intelligence tools, although its policies still state that users should not use our service to harm yourself or others, including to develop or use weapons. But that's kind of what the military does. Anyway, up until Wednesday of last week, or yesterday, excuse me, yesterday, correct, yeah. OpenAI's policies page specified that the company did not allow the usage of its models for activity that has high risk of physical harm, including weapons development and military warfare. The shift comes as OpenAI begins to work with the U.S. Department of Defense on AI tools, including open source cybersecurity tools, according to an interview at the World Economic Forum. So up until Wednesday, OpenAI's policies page, and I'll read that in a second, said that the company specifically did not allow the usage of its models for activity that is the high risk of physical harm, such as weapons development, military warfare. OpenAI on the today removed the specific reference to the military, although its policy still states that don't use this to hurt yourself or other people's or develop or use weapons. Because we previously had what was essentially a blanket prohibition on military, many people thought that would prohibit many of the use cases which people think are very highly aligned to military actions in the world. Our policy, this is an OpenAI person speaking here, does not allow our tools to be used to harm people, develop weapons for communication surveillance, or to injure others or to destroy property. There are, however, national security use cases that align with our mission. Now, let me be clear. Like, I'm a retired military person. I believe in competitive advantage. I'm okay with the use of these types of innovations for the purpose of the United States gaining a competitive advantage in the world. Doesn't bother me a bit. I am concerned about the way that we are running with this stuff roughshod into the ether and the risk that is implied and very, very real with people getting a hold of these types of things and not paying attention and being cautious about what they're rolling out and how they use them. That's what concerns me. Now, let's look at the policy before and after. So here's the policy before this was when they actually published this, was March 23rd of 2023. Yeah. Disallowed usage of our models, illegal activity, child sexual abuse material, generation of hateful, harassing, or violent content, generation of malware. But if I use it to write a phishing email, is that the same thing? I don't know. Not that I've ever done that. Don't do that. And lastly, activity that has high risk of physical harm, including weapons development, military warfare. So there's that. And then here's the policy that was updated, that was published, let's see, January 10th, after the government gets deeper involved. Now, there's a big change to their policies overall. The policies now, whereas before it was one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 different items. Now it is four. Here's their new policy. To maximize innovation and creativity, we believe you should have the flexibility to use our services as you see fit. So long as you comply with the law and don't harm yourself or others when using any OpenAI service like ChatGPT, these rules apply. Comply with the law. Okay, fine. Don't use our service to harm yourself or others. For example, don't use our services to promote suicide or self-harm, develop or use weapons, which is different than what they literally say, injure others or destroy property, or engage in unauthorized activities that violate the security of any service or system. Don't repurpose or distribute output from our services to harm others. Respect our safeguards. So there's like some lawyerese and legalese that's going on in there, but basically this is putting some get out of jail free things in there as far as like this is OpenAI's way of saying we're going to work with the military and the government. And again, for the record, I am perfectly okay and support the use of AI and this type of stuff in the United States' ability to continue to sort of be the superpower in the world. I would say we're probably not the superpower in the world anymore, but competitive advantage, absolutely all day long. However, there's a risk. There's a real risk here, and there's stuff that should be carefully managed, maintained, and controlled. So, yeah. So this is, if you're watching like a Terminator movie or something, this is where things begin to go down. Like if they had that graphic that shows up at the beginning of all those damn movies, this is where the beginning of the end would sort of start. I'm hoping that's not what actually happens, but it's concerning, to say the very least. So yes, and as always, I will put the links to this in here just so the folks know that I'm not just blowing smoke. But it's, there you go. I mean, money comes in, the government's got the infinite pot. All of a sudden, OpenAI and those folks go, well, we're going to change our policies a little bit because we like the green. And the investors sit there and they do the old arm bar, and that's what happens. Money might be what actually kicks off the generative AI arms race. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. So there was a breach that happened in Dallas, and then there was the fallout that happened, and there was a senator, I believe Johnson was the name, in Texas, that said, well, this is exactly why I introduced this legislation that's going to stop the hacking from occurring, and derp-a-der, and they're push it out there and whatever else. Let me give you the rundown, and folks, you can do this. Just all these publications and legislations and whatever else that are not classified, all you got to do is go look for them. And if you do a little tracking, you find it. So I found the actual original publication from this particular senator as it was introduced. And I'm just going to count sort of the number of revisions here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. So I would say in this one document that I'm looking at right here, a bill to be enacted, security incident reporting procedures, be it enacted in the legislature of the state of Texas, section one, blah, blah, blah. They've got almost 50 revisions of words in there. And the words that they're taking out are things like breach, security incident definition, security meaning. Like, so, you know, you introduce this stuff as a legislator and then it gets gutted because the people don't even understand the value of what's being brought into the market, and it doesn't do shit. Like, it should have been written on toilet paper. And then when you go read the final passed version, which I have that here as well, SB 271, Security Incident Reporting, Texas Government Code 2054.603, requires state agencies and local governments that experience a security incident to report to DIR, which I'm guessing that's the Department of Incident Response at Texas, which I didn't even know that was a thing, within 48 hours of discovery, or to notify the Secretary of State if the incident involves election data, and comply with the notification requirements of this other one to section 521.053. It also requires entities to report to the DIR, which is kind of funny that they're calling it the DIR, because DIR, security incident analysis of the cause incident within 10 days after the incident eradication closure. And then it says who is required to report. State and local governments that own, license, or maintain computerized data that includes sensitive personal information, confidential information, all the stuff that we already know. effective date, September 1, 2023, and then it's got the definitions. But when you look at the definitions in here, they've all been pretty gutted. So you've like got national level requirements, and you've got state, and you've got policies, and you've got paperwork, and all this other bullshit that keeps floating around. How much of it is actually enforceable, and how much of it's going to make a change? Like, find me a company that's gone out of business because of a PII violation or a HIPAA violation. Find me a regular sized business or enterprise that has categorically been crushed because of some compliance violation. I'll wait. You're not going to find them. They don't exist. This stuff is just lipstick on a pig. And if you haven't ever seen a document that's been introduced to state legislature that's been eviscerated with the black pen, go do some looking. You'll be amazed. Like, these are the folks that are in charge, and they're supposed to be making this stuff better. But it just gets sideways so super fast. And cyber is one of the ones where it gets gutted faster than others, I would suggest. Yeah. There's a report on the World Economic Forum. 2024 report, cybersecurity at the forefront, zero trust seen as critical for trust rebuilding. So there's lots of trust words in there. I read through the whole 100-page document. Accenture and the WEF collaborated on the study based on interviews with senior executives in 49 countries. Key findings include, let's see. These are super insightful. So geopolitics and its ongoing instability, the top cybersecurity drivers at a global level. 70% of leaders say this factor influences their organization's cybersecurity. I would sure as hell hope so. Attackers will have the upper hand when it comes to generative AI. Yeah, duh. Leaders are concerned about LLMs becoming more weaponized. Yes, see above. Nearly every senior leader knows of an industry colleague whose company has been breached. The vast majority, 98%, have a relationship with at least one third party that have experienced a breach in the last 2 years. A large majority of leaders, 73%, say they are stressing cybersecurity fundamentals to close security gaps. A small percentage, however, 13%, think human error will be the primary reason a breach occurs in an organization in the next 12 months. That number is staggeringly low. Let me twist that little bit and give you some data that I found from a phishing report that has been put together from last year. And tell me if you see a trend here. Email nightmare is actually what this says. 94% of firms hit by phishing attacks in 2023. Kevin Perot, I think. Poirot, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm from Texas. I'm barely literate. Email security remained top of mind for cybersecurity professionals in 2023 as over 9 in 10, 94% of decision makers had to deal with a phishing attack, according to email security provider Egress. That's up 2% from the previous year. The top three phishing techniques were malicious URLs, malware, ransomware attachment sent, and then people put it at blah, blah, blah. Additionally, phishing threat vectors became more efficient. Let me say that one more time. More efficient. With 96% of targeted organizations negatively impacted by these attacks compared with 86% the year prior. For instance, 58% of organizations suffered account takeovers in 2023, of which 79% came from credentials harvested through phishing. So does that qualify as a human problem? I mean, there's no phishing that doesn't get to a person and actually has something occur, right? So again, and I for the person that DM'd me like end of the last year and said that they were tired about hearing about the ineffectiveness of phishing training, which by the way, they happen to work for a phishing training company. So it really, you can't prove that this is making much difference. If the numbers over time continually indicate that it's getting worse, if generative AI is going to remove the barrier of entry into this, where anybody anywhere can come up with a really good phishing email in any language, your phishing training is going to be continually rendered ineffective. Human beings are the ones that click the links to cause the phishing success to take place. So by the transitive property of cyber and something or another, we can basically extrapolate that it's going to be human beings that will cause this infection because of phishing, which will continue to push the epidemic further. So if you're a business owner, if you're a person running a company or whatever else, by all means, and let me say this again for the folks in the cheap seats, train your people, educate them, make sure that they understand how this phishing stuff works. send them through that absolutely torturous training that we all have to go through for learning what phishing is and whatever else for the 7 billionth time. However, know this, the data, the trends, the actions, the space itself literally dictates that this will continue to get worse. Do not expect a human being to not be phished. Put a technical control in front of your people, period. Point blank, end of story. Browser isolation, RBI, enterprise browser, SWG, CASB, all those things that you can put in front of a person to help keep them from clicking and interacting with malicious content, do that. Like, it's just that simple. If you want your business to survive, do that, especially if you're a small business, whatever, or don't. And be the slow gazelle, because you know what? There needs to be people that will trip in front of the zombie horde so that they can slow them down for the rest of us. Maybe that's the position that we should take is, you know what? Please continue to piss away your money and invest in things that won't make a difference. And when you get eaten and they slow down to take care of you, I win. Perhaps that's the inverse. I don't know. Anyway. Don't allow corporate email on your personal, or don't allow personal email on your corporate system. You're a smart guy. So I would say Darren's, pretty smart on that whole thing. Yeah. Malware abuse, Google OAuth, endpoint to revive cookies, hijack accounts. Wah, wah. Multiple information stealing malware families are abusing an undocumented Google OAuth endpoint named multi-login, which is kind of funny that the name's multi-login, because that's what they're going to do is log in. To restore expired authentication cookies and log into users' accounts, even if an account's password was reset. Session cookies are a special type of browser cookie that contains authentication information, allowing a person to automatically log into a website. If you've never dealt with cookies, there they are. These types of cookies are meant to have a limited lifespan, so they cannot be used indefinitely by threat actors to log in accounts if they're stolen, in theory. In late November 2023, Bleeping Computer reported two information stealers, namely Luma and Rhadamanthus, which sounds like a venereal disease, who claimed they could restore expired Google authentication cookies stolen in attacks. These cookies would allow the cyber criminals to gain unauthorized access to Google accounts even after the legitimate owners had logged out, reset their passwords, or their session has expired. That's pretty crazy. Bleeping Computer has contacted Google multiple times over a month with questions, but they never got a response. A report issued today, which this was as of, I believe, yesterday. Nope, this was over a month ago. Whoa. CloudSec researchers sheds more light on how this works and paints a dire picture regarding the scale of its exploitation. The exploit was first revealed by a threat actor named Prisma on October 20, 2023, who posted on Telegram. Well, Telegram, what particular country is affiliated with the Telegram thing? That they discovered a way to restore expired Google authentication cookies. After reverse engineering the exploit, the CloudSec folks discovered it uses an undocumented Google OAuth endpoint named multi-login, which is intended for synchronizing accounts across different Google services by accepting a vector of account IDs and login tokens. This request is used to set Chrome accounts and browser in the Google authentication cookies for several websites like YouTube. So yeah, API. The request part of blah, blah, API triggers whenever a cookie is not consistent. So there's some other like Google things here. There's a really good breakdown. I'll put the link in here. But basically what should be noted is that this is a 0-day sort of unpatched current thing within the Google system, Chrome and whatnot, where someone can log in even if you're logged out by doing cookie hijacking, session hijacking, those types of things. There's more intricacies that are required for this. It's not like some super fire it on, forget, and everybody gets hacked type of thing, but it's pretty concerning, and it would be great to see what the Google fix is for this. I believe there was also something that came out recently that was talking about how Google was deprecating cookies and dealing with cookie fallout. I kind of wonder if these two things are not interwoven or are part of the same problem space. I don't know, maybe. If you have Ivanti, go read this article about fixing your Ivanti stuff, because it's not a good thing. This is also on Bleeping Computer. Avanti Connect Secure, which 0 days now under mass exploitation. 2 0-day vulnerabilities affecting Avanti's Connect Secure VPN and Policy Secure Network Access Control, NAC appliance, are now under mass exploitation. As discovered by Velexity, which also first spotted 3 0-days being used in attacks in December. There's more follow-on to this. Victims are globally distributed and vary greatly in size, from small biz to largest organizations, Velexity reported. The attackers backdoored their target system using gifted visitor web shell variant, which has got found on hundreds of appliances. On Sunday, January 14th, Velexity identified 1,700 ICS, which is Avanti VPN appliances, that were compromised. Now, what's the takeaway that you hear right there? VPN. Yeah. Threat monitoring system Shadow Server currently tracks more than 16,800 ICS VPN appliances exposed. Almost 5,000 of those are in the U.S. Excuse me. As Avanti disclosed last week, attackers can run arbitrary commands, which is never a good thing, on all supported versions of ICS VPN and IPS appliances when successfully chaining the 2 0-days. Attacks have now escalated from a limited number of customers impacted by attacks exploiting these vulnerabilities, with a suspected Chinese state-backed threat actor, UTA-0178 or UNC-5221, now being joined by multiple others. Here's some tools that are affiliated with this. Zipline, ThinSpool, WireFire, LightWire, WarpWire, PySoxy, BusyBox, and ThinSpool. So if you see any of those names of anything running or showing up on your network, rip the cables out of the wall and start applying for unemployment. I don't know. But the whole thing is, hopefully Avanti is coming up with a patch for this pretty quick. If you have Avanti, that VPN thing on your systems, definitely step up your monitoring and look what's going on, because bad things could be happening there. So know that, be aware. Bloomberg reported this, quantum computing to spark cybersecurity Armageddon. Now, it's not good to kind of throw the whole Armageddon thing in here, because that makes people scared, but IBM's general manager of EMEA sees quantum era by 2030, quantum computers to make existing encryption systems obsolete. So, okay, governments and businesses are not prepared for the havoc quantum computers will sow in cybersecurity by the end of the decade, according to IBM. Is quantum going to really create a cybersecurity Armageddon? Anna Paula Asis, I think, IBM's general manager of Europe, Middle East, and Africa, said on a panel at the WEF, it's going to, unequivocally, that's what she said. Quantum computers are an emerging technology that vastly accelerates processing power so they can do lots of big bad things. Isn't IBM building a quantum computer? Some governments are beginning to take the threat seriously. The U.S. Senate, in a rare unanimous vote, amazing that they voted on anything together, passed a bill in 2022 addressing the threat of quantum computers to cryptography. Businesses are not equipped to utilize quantum machines or deal with the disruption they will cause. Yes, definitely. Most companies do not have a robust roadmap yet as to how they're going to use AI and quantum rather to solve core problems. China, and this is from the panel at the WEF, China is making a very serious and very confident effort along many lines in quantum computing. States may be better able to regulate quantum computers than artificial intelligence because the technology is so dependent on infrastructure. Quantum computing is developing faster than projected, because that's kind of the very nature of how technology works, right? Moore's Law, whatever. 2/3 of developers using quantum computers rely on IBM's open source toolkit, Qiskit, to write their code. So, like, is that the rabbits watching the grass grow? Like when IBM is at the WEF and is talking about quantum being quantum apocalypse, and then IBM literally says, oh, by the way that they do all their quantum stuff and their coding is because we give them the code to do the quantum stuff. Doesn't that make some of the hair on the back of your neck stand up? There's been a lot of the arguments, a lot of the conversation around, like, maybe this is why China has spent all this time just sucking up encrypted stuff, is because they'll crack quantum first and they can crack all that encrypted stuff. Maybe. I was also reading an article this week that was talking in a, and I'll put it out there too on the links, that there was a breakdown in the Chinese missile system where the sort of threat of an invasion of Taiwan was questionable now, because a lot of the Chinese missiles didn't even have fuel in them. The guys that were using the fuel systems or the fuel cells from the missiles to make hot pots because they didn't have resources. So is China I think the title of it was, is China a paper tiger? It was pretty interesting. I think it was War Graphics or something like that. I'll find the link. But I mean, that's the question. If who's going to win the quantum arms race, China or US? I don't think Russia's even included in that, really. I don't know. Is Russia quantum superpower focused, enabled? They got other shit to deal with right now. So where does that go? But if, let's just say that the race is on, who wins and then who uses it first. But there is a whole lot of the rabbits watching the grass grow here. You got companies that are trying to run to quantum that are providing the capabilities to enable the quantum apocalypse, if that's really a thing. Then why would you enable the apocalypse? Is it good for business to enable the quantum apocalypse? Maybe, probably not. I don't know. Are you selling batteries and ammunition? Then it's good for business. Other than that, probably not. Yeah, as you can tell, I was lucky enough to get a little bit of the new flavor of COVID recently traveling. I'll tell you, you probably don't want it. It's a little bit gross. So anyway, don't get the new version of COVID. And I'm all vaxxed up. I've had every vax that they can, whatever, because I was in the military and they gave me all the shit that they could stick me with. It could have been fucking Windex for all I know. I was not worried about a COVID vaccine. So anyway, don't get new COVID. It's like new Coke, but makes you have diarrhea. Bad reference. Anyway, so there's a bunch of stuff. I threw things together. I'll put this stuff where I can. Read it for yourself. Make your own decisions. Think for yourself. Be aware of what's going on. Pay attention. I have already seen a lot of stuff that is starting to show up that is indicative of the threat that is coming with misinformation and disinformation in the coming election cycle. Quantum is definitely something to know about. Is it something to be afraid of or concerned about? I personally don't think so. But is it worth being aware? Absolutely. On top of that, think forward, folks. You've got all of this proof of what doesn't work and where there's a bad line of investment and what doesn't make a difference. And continually expecting a different outcome from doing the same things is stupid. So don't do that stupid stuff. If you're an organization and you're running your business and you're trying to just operate securely, if you follow the best practices and you follow the basics and you just continually stay with it, you'll be better than the others. Maybe this goes back to my point earlier of like the best way to survive this is just let the slow gazelles get eaten. If the bad guys at the back are slowed down and we keep winning because we're at the front, so be it. I'm fine with the middle of the pack if that means survival. I don't need to necessarily be at the front. I just don't want to be at the rear. As always, stay smart, stay safe, stay secure. If I can help you with something, please reach out. I'll post the links to this stuff. I do have my new book coming out at the 24th. It'll be on Amazon. I'll put the link in there too. Buy a book. If I see you somewhere, glad to sign it. It's from Wiley Publishing, and it has a seagull with a chief hat on it. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, God bless. I'll catch you on the next one. Disclaimer, the information in this podcast episode, aka episode, is provided for general information purposes only. By listening to this episode, you understand that this is not specific technical guidance from the host. No information contained in this episode should be construed as security advice from the author, host, or guest, nor is it intended to be a substitute for security advice on any particular subject matter. No listener of this episode should act or refrain from acting on the basis of any information included in or accessible through this episode without seeking the appropriate technical or other professional advice on the particular facts and circumstances that are discussed. This podcast is for informational purposes only. All views expressed therein are those of the host and his guest and should not be considered as being endorsed by nor related to the host or the guest's employers.